The first is very practical. You all know Martin Luther, and Martin Luther thought he was a prayer. He thought he prayed before he got born again, but he truly learned the work of prayer after salvation. And he says this, he says, as the business of tailors is to make clothes, and for cobblers to make shoes, it is the business of Christians to pray. Oh, that was good. Another man wrote, the secret of all failure in our life is the failure in times of secret prayer. Oh, we can pray in church and we can pray when people ask us to, but the failures in our life are due to the failure to pray at times of secret closet prayer. A guy named M.E. Andros said this, we need to make time to pray. Every great freight and passenger train is never too busy to stop for fuel. No matter how congested the yards may be, no matter how crowded the schedules are, no matter how many things demand the attention of all the trainsmen, those trains always stop for fuel. And we need to stop to pray. I have hundreds of quotes on prayer, really, that stir me every time I read them. And that burden me when I read them. And I would encourage you to gather, listen, when you to read about prayer. I ought to get some books in by a guy named Ian Bounds on prayer that really would rattle you and shake you deep and change the way that you think about prayer. But this morning I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. I want to help you this morning learn that there is somebody who wants to help you pray. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and find out about prayer. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Chapter 8 is one of those bright chapters in the Bible. It is absolutely a gem for sure. It is absolutely brilliant with encouraging truth. And a good third of this chapter is about the Holy Spirit working with us as we pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says this, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Simple word, weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Amen? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let's be honest. We don't know how to pray. That's why the disciples looked at Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. If we're honest, we would admit we don't know what to pray about. You know, maybe you want to pray for a new car. Maybe you want to pray for a new wife. Sorry, that will not be answered. Maybe you want to pray for a new dog. I can arrange that. We can pray for all things, but do we know what we really should be praying about? I don't. We don't know what to pray for. We hear all kinds of prayer requests, and we don't know what to pray about them. Somebody's got, and they're facing into cancer surgery. How do you pray about that? What words do you say to God to move into that situation? We don't know what to pray many times. And when we do pray, we find that we lack the patience to wait for God to act. Just we're a mess, amen? When it comes to prayer, we're failures, amen? So God gave us the Bible, thankfully, to show us how to pray. He gave us our one and only prayer book, the Word of God. Do you know, when you read in your Bible and you study the life of Jesus, you start from the beginning of his baptism all the way through his life, he prays 15 times, it is recorded. Now, we know he prayed a lot more, but 15 times. The Bible, God took time to record, and he prayed, and he prayed, and this is what he prayed, and this is how he taught to pray. And the Bible shows us how to pray. Paul, you watch the Apostle Paul, he prays dozens of times, as does Peter and even all believers. I recorded it last night. The Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, if you ever can get a commentary on the Bible, a man named Matthew Henry wrote a tremendous commentary on the entire Bible. And he said this, "You may as soon find a living man that does not breathe as to find a living Christian that does not pray." God gave us the Bible to teach us to pray. There are, a man wrote a book called All the Prayers in the Bible. His name was Dr. Herbert Lockyer, and he found 650 prayers in the Bible, and he found 450 of them answered. That was pretty cool. So God invests a lot of time and a lot of attention in the Bible to showing us how to pray and how to get those prayers answered. So he gave us the Bible. But God did not stop there, amen? I forgot that I had all that on there. God gave us the Bible. But he went further in that, amen? He gave us his Holy Spirit. What a stranger to the modern Christian is the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the most ignored person today. I hate being ignored. Huh? I hate it when somebody's coming towards me and I go, and they just pass me by. That just really hurts, amen? The most ignored person today in our churches is not the pastor, it is not you, it is the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, people believe in the Holy Spirit, but they usually only do it in word only. They don't seek to understand him, and they don't seek to know him, and they don't seek to lean upon him. In every prayer you pray, the triune God, the Trinity of God, has a part. The Father is the one who hears and answers our prayer with all power. He can supply the deepest need, the furthest, most impossible need he can supply. The Son purchased the authority for sinners like us to just pray simply in his name. I can go boldly under the throne of grace through a new and living way because of our high priest. He made a way for me to pray simply in his name. And the Holy Spirit, I want to make this very clear. The Father hears us. The Son granted us all authority to go to the Father. And the Holy Spirit actually does two things. He prays in us and for us. What a wonderful truth that is unknown by Christians today. How important is it for us to learn to let the Holy Spirit help us to pray? Without him, our prayers are dead. Without the Holy Spirit, our prayers are useless and only vain repetitions. And this morning, I want the Holy Spirit to become a vital co-partner, a vital prayer partner in your time of prayer. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we believe in prayer. We believe in you, but we feel powerless. We face walls and obstacles and valleys and insurmountable mountains, and we don't know what to do. And there is a still small voice saying, "I know." There is a gentle wind blowing that can blow away every obstacle. If only we would yield and learn to pray with the Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction to our heart about prayer and about our relationship with you, and that it would change from a routine, that it would change from a ritual, that it would change from a tradition, that it would change from a dead work to a living, vibrant, powerful, need-receiving time of prayer. Lord, I pray for your help today as I try to help these people, God. Lord, I pray, please speak to our hearts, meet our deepest need today. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to give you some background. It'll come from Romans chapter 8 and give you some background, because we think we believe it, but if you think you believe it, I'll put you to the test and see if you're living it. So the first thing I want to take a step back and go back in chapter 8 to verse 9. And I want to say something that probably everyone in here believes, but they don't live. They don't really agree with. Watch this. In verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God," what are the next three words? "Dwell in you." Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, he is none of them. The first thing I want to say, the Holy Spirit is in the believer. He actually indwells this jar of clay. He is in you, and he's in you for a purpose. Did you know the Holy Spirit got in you to help you? There's not a man alive who doesn't need help. That's why we get married, amen? There's not a person in this room who can go without the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit came in to help you make sure that you get to heaven? If it weren't for the Holy Spirit being sealed inside of you, you would lose your salvation. You can't live it, can you? Any one of us would admit we can't live it. We don't know how to live the Christian life. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to stay away from sin. So the Holy Spirit comes in to make sure you get to heaven. Amen. He is your security. Amen. So he's there in you to help you. He's also in there to make sure you got enough strength for each and every trial. The Holy Spirit will lift you up, will encourage, will help you through that valley. He's in there to give you enough strength for each day and each trial. And the biggest thing that we're going to focus on this morning, he is in you to make sure you get heard in heaven. Can you speak loud enough to be heard even a mile away? Is anybody in here that could be heard 20 miles away? I've heard a sneeze loud enough that could be heard a long way away. I've heard a baby's cry that could be heard a mile away. But what is it that enables your and my feeblest prayer to be heard in heaven? The Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening? Amen. He is there to make sure that you are heard in heaven. He's there to help you. Amen. He got in there when you invited Jesus Christ in. Amen. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will" what? "Come in." And when he comes in, he's not physically coming in. He's coming in the form of the Holy Spirit. God the Father came down into this world in the form of a man. Amen? And if he can do that, he can squish inside of you too. Not physically, but now as the Holy Spirit. He came in the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is not in everyone. Don't make the mistake thinking the Holy Spirit is just in everybody. No, 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 no. He is not. He's only in there the moment you get born again. Amen. The moment that you humbly bow, destitute, damned, lost, without hope, without God, crying out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me." And then, boom, he's in. He got in there when you got born again. Amen. Most people only allow religion into their lives. You need to allow God himself into your life. You know, I like to swap concept. When you surrendered your sins to God, God gave the gift of eternal life to you in the person of Jesus Christ coming into your life. It is such a swap. I gave him the wages of sin, and he died on the cross, and he gave me the gift of God. I mean, what an exchange. That's when you got the Holy Spirit of God. He came as a package deal. Amen? Holy Spirit is in the believer. He's just as real as Jesus Christ is. Amen? He is a person, not a force. And he is life. I'll say about that in just another moment. So the Holy Spirit is in the believer. Secondly, he is very powerful. Chapter 8, verse 10 says this. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is" what? Life. All right, you need to circle that word. Is life because of righteousness. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," hey, if that Spirit is in you, "well, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your" what bodies? I believe he could save my soul. But did you know one of these days you're probably, if the rapture didn't occur, you'll probably end up in a coffin 6 feet underground. Amen? Do you know what happens to dead bodies underground? Sorry to ruin your breakfast. Worms eat it. Okay? Can I be real descriptive? Let me be real descriptive. There's a tree next to a grave. And the tree was just a little sapling. And over the years, this tree grew and grew, and a root began to grow. Watch this. And that root began to shift the dirt until it had opened up that grave, and there was the shape of a body, the shape of that root. That root had consumed that body. Now you say, oh, that's awful. No, 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 follow me out. That body had been buried 70 years before, and I'm going to say this. The Holy Spirit of God is going to reanimate all of those molecules and cells and dust and parts of that being that has been soaked up into the leaves and gone into the air, and he's going to reconstitute a living, perfect body. Amen? That's power. And if the power that raised up Jesus Christ from the tomb lives inside of you, he'll even reanimate your dead, mortal, filthy, wicked, dust bowl of a body. Is the Holy Spirit powerful or not? Amen. There is something we forget about the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit is the quietest person of the Trinity, he speaks with a whisper, doesn't he? Yes. You never met the Holy Spirit screaming at you! Did you? Maybe your mother. Yeah, you're deaf. I know. Maybe your mother did. Maybe your boss did. Maybe your wife does. But the Holy Spirit never has to raise his voice. He is the, even though he is the quietest member of the Trinity, he is the power behind everything that works. He is the power behind everything that is alive and that produces fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says. It is a fruit-bearing power in your life. I'll give you an example. You have, in your house, you have wires, you have PowerPoint sockets, you have appliances, you have transformers, you've got lights, you've got switches, you've got fuses all throughout your house, don't you? But they are nothing but scrap metal without electricity, amen? And you may have words, you may have burdens, you may have needs, you may have prayer lists, you may have church, you may have form, you may have traditions, but without the Holy Spirit, it is a scrap heap of wasted time, amen? We've got to realize this prayer partner that we forget about in our prayer time. The Holy Spirit is life itself. Every Christian in here better sit up and pay very close attention, because the Holy Spirit is what will activate your prayer life. It is him who will enable you to get what you need on a moment-by-moment basis. Only my prayer, I can pray all day and all night and ask God to move a mountain. It is the Holy Spirit that moves the mountain. I just need to be praying with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like, I give you the illustration 100 times, it's like a little squirrel and a big elephant. And they go across one of those rickety old swinging bridges. And as they're going across, and that big elephant, and that little squirrel going along inside, and that bridge is swaying and swinging, and that squirrel's just giggling and laughing, getting all the way. And he says, wow, we sure shook that bridge. We sure shook that bridge. You know, we get to pray, and the mountain moves. We go, we sure moved that mountain, didn't we? No. We just were there. Amen? Agreeing with the Holy Spirit as he moved that mountain. Amen? Don't you get to thinking that my power is in the way I pray. All of a sudden, you'll worry about, did I pray right? Did I pray towards Jerusalem? You know, did I hold my head just like this? You know, we'll worry about our mechanics. We'll worry about our abilities. We'll worry about our wise words. Oh God in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're worried about all of those things. When I want you to know, that's not how the Holy Spirit prays. He takes groanings that cannot be uttered, and he gets the job done. Amen. He's very powerful. There's no limit to what God and you can do together when you pray. My God shall supply all your need. No limit. So every Christian needs to use the Holy Spirit to pray through your troubles and battles. You need to learn to use Him, and I want to help you do that. Third, He leads every believer. Look in verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says this, "For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Graham, come up here for a second. Joseph, come up here. Graham, I know you look good, but sorry. You're lost. Okay? Not saved. All right? So you stand over here next to him. All right. Now, you're deaf, blind, dumb. That, at least the dumb part we agree with. Amen? All right. I never got to mess with Graham, so this is fun. Okay. Joseph got born again. Humbled himself before God, cried out to save him. But one of the ways that you know you're saved is that when the Holy Spirit speaks, which one do you think will respond? As many as are, follow me. All right, let's go over here. Now let's pray. Amen. Let's go down on our knees. Let's pray. Let's pray for Pastor, because right now he's really burdened for these folks. Amen. And as the Holy Spirit leads, it is a sign that you're saved. If you're still stuck going, I don't need to pray. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't even know I want to come to church. It shows that you're not born again. If your mom has to drag you to church, if your dad has to force you, or if the pastor has to bribe you to come, you're not being led of the Spirit. Does that make sense? But as many as are leadable, can I say it that way? And as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, wouldn't you like to be led of the Spirit? That's the job of the soul, is to convince him you're missing out, to convince him and to open his eyes and to turn him from darkness to light, that he may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified, to know the power of prayer. But the Christian is being led by the Spirit. No longer. Now, what would catch your attention? What would get your direction going? Now, you're married, so this better not be. But a young lady. But the disco scene, the music. Do you understand what I'm saying? They that are in the flesh are not following the Spirit, are they? So the Bible says, look there in verse 14 one more time. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So one of them that is led is actually constantly encouraged. Boy, the Holy Spirit is constantly working on me. Maybe you're not responding. Maybe you're not always obeying, but at least you know the Holy Spirit's always calling. Amen? Does that make sense? Thank you. You both can be seated. I'll probably use you again in a minute. The Holy Spirit leads every believer. God leaves you alone and doesn't grip your heart and doesn't burden your heart and doesn't make you worry about your soul, then you're doomed. You better pray, God, make me concerned about my soul. Amen. God, I don't pray. I don't worry about spiritual things. Oh, God, I need you to make me worried. Amen. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just be sensitive to the things of this world. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 5:19. Are you listening? You may be saved and the Holy Spirit leading, but the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. What does it mean to quench it? To put it out. It's kind of like you're thirsty and you're like, I can't go to the shop right now. I got to give me a drink. I got to get something to quench this thirst. Amen? And what do we do? When the Holy Spirit begins to work on us, we take a big bucket of water and we go, not now. I'm busy. I don't want the Holy Spirit drawing me now. He leads every believer. Don't you dare quench His work when He attempts to lead you. Don't ignore His whispers by drowning out His urgings. You know why some people turn up the music on the radio? Do you know why some people turn on the television when the Holy Spirit is dealing with them about some sin or about something they need to do, about somebody they need to go to apologize to, somebody they need to write, somebody they need to encourage. When the Holy Spirit says you need to be in your Bible, do you know why people turn the music up real loud? Because they're trying to drown out a whisper. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to get you to pray, is to get you to do the will of God. He leads every believer. In verse 15, he brings us close to God. For he goes on in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God didn't move you into a relationship where you are now in total fear. But ye received the spirit of adoption into his family, whereby we now cry what? Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit now that we are the children of God. Holy Spirit brings us close to God. He makes the relationship so good that you can call God Abba, Daddy. We don't cry out. You know, when you're in trouble, you don't. I mean, you might try to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You may try, but when you're really serious in trouble, you're crying out, Oh God, help me. Amen. But there is a cry in the heart of the believer. It says, Abba, Daddy. Just as Jesus did in Mark chapter 14 when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't cry Our Lady. We cry Abba, Daddy. You know, in verse 13, just let me run back there. He says this, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall what? But if ye through the what? Do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Won't you understand? When he's trying to bring us close to God, he's trying to get us to deal with sin in our life so that we're clean. And when we come into his presence, that's a whole other message. But the Holy Spirit tries to bring us to God. Why? So that we're for one great purpose in our lives, so that we can pray. I thought my great purpose, Brother Dan, was to win souls. I thought it was my great purpose in life. I thought my great purpose was to preach the gospel. I thought my great purpose was to one day be Taoiseach. No, your one great purpose is to walk with God and to pray. And not just to pray. Listen, when I say pray, I mean pray to get an answer. Who wants to go to a doctor and he look at you and go, I don't know what to do. Here, try this. Isn't that what they always say? Try this blue one. Next one, we'll try the red one. Amen. You know, the great purpose in my life is to pray about my needs and get those needs met. I have such a relationship with God, but I devaluate prayer so that I live in misery. If I have such a purpose to be able to just come to God and say, God, I need this, and then get it. If I have that ability and I don't do it, am I not the biggest Egypt ever? Let me get to the message now. Verse 18 says this, as the Holy Spirit leads us to pray, understand the kind of prayer we're talking about. Verse 26, we'll go back to verse 18, sorry. Chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm looking forward to that. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's us, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what I will be one day, amen. For the creature, talking about the earth and everything that's alive in it, was made subject to vanity, oh, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in what? All right, so I am a subject to a wasted world, of an empty world, of a futile life. That's where I live. Even Solomon said it. Solomon was building the greatest empire, and he says, what a waste. I'm going to give it to a son who didn't work one day in his life. He said, all is vanity. We live in a futile world. You work hard, and then you watch your kids flitter away because they're spoiled brats. Amen. All of creation is in a realm of vanity and futility, and he goes on. verse 20 ends up saying, but God also has given us hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption one day into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's in the millennium with the new body. Just follow me. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation, what's the word? We'll see that word again in a moment. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together even until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Hey, is my body born again? Nope. My soul is. My spirit's been regenerated. My soul is born again, but this flesh is still dying. It is still sin-bound. It is still stinking. I still have to shower. Amen? Regularly. Amen? I'll do it again. Amen. I still have to shave. I still have to comb my hair one of these days. Woo-hoo! No more showers. Not unless I want to go swimming. There is coming a body that I'll have that'll be perfect. But until then, I groan. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of my body. One of these days, my body is going to be made perfect. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, amen? Nobody's saved by anything in this life outside of the hope that God gave us, amen? But hope that is seen is not hope. You see your paycheck, that's not hope. You see your kids, you see all of these things. No, God says, I want you to live by faith, and he says, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Verse 26 gets to the point. Well, let me just hold there for a second, because I want to say all of creation is waiting for the second coming of Christ. Right now, I want you to understand, Darwin excluded. Richard Dawkins and his idea that we're all evolving excluded. Everything is cursed. Would you agree with that? Everything falls apart. Leave a kid in the house for 6 hours and tell me if it gets better. Okay? Right now, everything is cursed. Everything dies. Everything struggles. Everything is messed up. What do we got? We got hurricanes, earthquakes, mass murders, the Middle East. We got road accidents. Darwin and his survival of the fittest is not about evolution, but about the curse. It's about the creature, about life on this world, fighting to live. Amen. It's not about evolution and things getting better. It's people trying to survive. Everything in this universe has been made subject to vanity, made self-centered because of Adam. One of these days when we get home to heaven, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go find Adam and I'm going to punch him. Ladies, you can punch Eve, but I've got Adam, amen. But folks, everything is groaning and travailing for something better. Isn't that what the politicians say? We're working toward a better day, amen. Isn't that what they say? Oh, yeah, positive thinking. Let's look on the bright side of life. Amen. Problem is, they think they can do it without Christ. So you know what they say at the end of their term? They go, our job is not finished. Oh, but we're still looking for a better day. 20 billion euros later. You know, everything is waiting for the day when Christians are clearly manifested at the second coming, when I finally live and have no problem with sin. Yeah. Suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And it's going to be let out. Until Jesus, now here's the great point. Until Jesus comes back, we're going to have to live, not in the power of a perfect world, although a perfect world is coming, Emrio. One of these days, a child will be able to take for a walk a lion. And the lamb will lay down with the lion and not be eaten. A child will go out into the field and go and find a little hole and lay down on a asp's hole, on a venomous snake's hole. And the snake will go, hello. And it'll be perfectly safe, amen. That's a great world to look forward to, amen. But until that world comes, we're going to have to live in prayer. That's the point of this thing. You may not be able to get a better car. You may not be able to have the better health. You may not be able to have a better brain. You may not have more money. You may not have anything, but you have prayer. And let me just say this. That prayer is the place where the Holy Spirit meets with you. And you have access to the power that is the same power that will regenerate this world and make it Eden again. The Holy Spirit makes up for what you cannot do as a Christian. This is the main part of the message. Look in verse 26 now. Likewise, just as the Holy Spirit, what's the likewise there for? Likewise, just as the Holy Spirit is going to make this world perfect again, as the Holy Spirit is able to resurrect the dead, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Wow. You know, he makes up for what you can't do as a Christian. How many of you think you can live the Christian life? Let me see your hand. How many think you can live it without falling, without failure? Amen. Amen. We can. So you need somebody who will make up for all of your failures, for all of your feeble attempts. The Holy Spirit, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The reality is this. We're weak. Don't you fool yourself. Don't you put on this thing, I'm okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, I just got my third job, you know, in 3 weeks. You know, I've got a 25,000-year-old car. I'm paying for it for the next 15 years. You know? And you know, we put on this air of, I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. Let me tell you, the reality is we are weak. We are full of infirmities. You ever woke up and didn't know where you were? Didn't know who you were? We are weak. You need to step back and look at what you do to cope with your problems. How many medicines you take. How many self-help books you constantly absorb yourself in. How many times that you go to hang out with the friends just to be able to deal with the day. How many Bud Dummers you drink just to take the edge off of the day. How many favorite songs you try to pump yourself up with in order to cope. Let me tell you, you're a mess. Just like I am. We're weak. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. So guess who comes along and helps us? The Holy Spirit of God. He helps us when we're weak. I like how it says this. Look, likewise also the Holy Spirit, the Spirit also healeth our infirmities. Does it say that? You better mark these words. We say, God, why aren't you healing me? And the Holy Spirit says, because I'm going to help you. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen, Kathy, is for us just to have every problem fixed and every illness healed. Because we would get to where we're the boss. God, I need you to do this. Now, God, I need to do that. Now, God, take the rubbish out. Now, God, would you take care of this? I'm telling you, the best thing the Holy Spirit does is come alongside us and help us through our sickness, our weakness, our failure, our hurt, our sorrow, our grief, our pain, our failures. He helpeth our infirmities. He helps us when we're weak. You know what you don't like? You don't like that. You don't want to be left in your infirmity. You don't want to be left in a hospital bed. You don't want to be left with no answers. You ever looked at somebody and they're crying out to you saying, why is God doing this to me? And you look at them and you go, there's nothing you can say. You say, God, how come there's nothing I can say? Because the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you that there is no answer. There's only God. And they don't need a to be out of that bed. They need to be born again. They need a relationship with God that gets them through that valley. Don't just pull them out of it. I like getting out of the valleys. I like getting answers to prayer. But he helps our infirmities. He knows when to leave us in the middle of the valley. And that's a help to us. He helps in our weakness. You know what the devil does when he brings us into a time of trial and infirmity? He uses it to keep us from praying. But when the Holy Spirit, when God the Father allows us to go into a time of infirmity, it's to get us dependent on our time of prayer. Thirdly, he helps us, and I'm going to say this, underline the word, when we pray. When you don't know how to pray or what to pray, I like how he's at work on the job. You know what he's doing? He's doing three very important things. He is translating, he is interceding, and he is comforting. He helps us when we pray. He teaches us really how to pray. Let's go to Romans, look at 8:15. Look at 8:15 now again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at Galatians 4. Hold in your place here in Romans. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Just a few pages to the right. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you're sons, you've been born again, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son where? Into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. He's teaching us how to pray. You ever meditated on those words? Abba, Father. You know, those are words like a child would say. As Kevin was saying there on Thursday night, the first words out of every baby's mouth is dad, dad, right? It should be, amen. Moms work real hard. Mama, mama, mama. But you know, the first words out of a baby Christian's heart and mouth ought to be dad, dad. Abba. You don't talk to nobody else in heaven but Him, amen? And God put the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He cries out through you, Abba. He helps you to pray. You don't even know what to call Him. And the Holy Spirit helps you. The Holy Spirit is given to us for the express purpose of teaching us in childlike trust and surrender to say, Abba. You know, in one passage we read, we cry. In the other passage we get the word, He cries. Romans 8 says, we cry, Abba. In Galatians 6 it says, the Holy Spirit was put in us, in our hearts, and He cries. Do you understand? There are two cries going on at the same time. Every time you pray, there are two voices praying. What a wonderful blessing of the divine and human work in prayer. But let's go on a little bit further. He not only teaches us to really pray, He groans when we groan. Look at verse chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make an intercession with us with what? For us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's why it's not tongues, by the way. See, I hear a lot of people talk about, well, I've had the gift of tongues, and that's the, you know, when I've got tongues, it's groanings which cannot be uttered. That's kind of stupid. You're saying words when the Bible says there are no words to say. Groanings are no words at all. Do you know what a groaning is? Let me tell you what a groaning is. It's, ugh! You know what it is? It's, Amen? That's not tongues. Amen? And do you know what the Holy Spirit's doing right with you? That's a friend. You know, the worst kind of friend comes along and says, Joseph, let's pray. I know exactly what you need to do. And Joseph, let me tell you where you're wrong. And Joseph, let me just beat you over the head about how this all came on you because of your own fault. That's not a friend. Amen? You know what the best friend does? Is when you weep, He weeps. And when you groan, He groans. Because He's praying with you. Amen? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you don't know what to say, He's groaning with you. That, He makes up. And that is powerful. My groanings don't impress God. But when the Holy Spirit's groaning, and God says, what's going on down there? And the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there with groaning. I want to show you the third thing that He does. He intercedes. What do I mean by that? He translates what you mean when you cannot speak, or when you fumble through your words, or when you say a fancy prayer and the Holy Spirit says, ignore all that, Father. What He really means and what He really needs. I mean, I may pray for another car and the Lord says, and the Holy Spirit says, what He needs is a bicycle. Because He needs to change His diet And because he's got high cholesterol, and if we don't fix him, he's going to die in the next 3 years. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit knows what we ought to pray. And so I'm groaning, or I'm praying my words, and the Holy Spirit alongside me looks up to heaven and says, Father, let me translate. Aren't you glad he translates? Because what if you got everything you wanted? You'd be dead.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit actually translates what we need. I think this is awesome. I don't know what I need, so the Holy Spirit expresses what I need. I don't know what to say, so the Holy Spirit uses words that make sense. I don't know what to pray for, so the Holy Spirit guides my thoughts and helps me pray as I ought. You know, it's wonderful when you're quiet in prayer. You ever talk to somebody and you didn't get a chance to say a word? Think about that for a second. Have you ever talked to somebody and you didn't get a chance to say a word? Now you know how your prayer life is. It stinks. There's something wonderful about praying slowly, quietly, and allowing it to not be a monologue, but a dialogue. Well, the Holy Spirit says, no, Craig, you don't need to go there. No, you don't need to pray against that enemy. You need to pray for him. Oh, yeah, you're right, Father. I'm sorry. Lord, I pray you bless so-and-so. God, and I want you to heap coals of fire on his head, but I'm going to pray a blessing on them. Amen. That's prayer. And that's what the Holy Spirit, as you're praying, there is something that happens where a different prayer list comes in your mind. You start praying, God, please poison this person. God, please take this person out of this world. Please fix this problem in my life. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, no, let's go back to the beginning. That person's going to go to hell if I kill him. You sure you want him to go to hell? Will you not pray for him? Will you not give him another gospel witness? Will you not show him love and charity where he has showed you hurt and pain? And the Holy Spirit talks to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He intercedes with our best interests in mind. I may think my need is this, but the Holy Spirit comes along and he changes it. And best of all, he comforts us when we pray. What is his best name? I know his work is that of the Spirit of God, but his best title is what? The Comforter. So when you're praying, wouldn't it be wonderful if you felt the comfort of his presence? Is he there? Is he right beside you? Is he in you? Yes. I think this is the best part, man. He not only has the job of carrying your requests to the Father all the way up to heaven, but he's the job of carrying you, of comforting you and encouraging you as you pray. If when you're praying you don't get encouraged, you're not praying with the Spirit. I'll show you the verse in a moment. He comforts. Did you know the Holy Spirit? Let me see if I've got this. Did you know that the Holy Spirit directs all worship of God the Father? Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is in charge of trying to get everybody and everything worshiping God the Father. Amen? And when you start to pray, what you're doing is you're just joining into that worship. That's what you're doing. And he's helping you. Don't neglect his help when you pray. Don't miss the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God as you pray. Because your best prayer partner is the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians. You can leave here now and go to 1 Corinthians to the right in chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. Chapter 14, again, people who get caught up in the charismatic movement, they start to think that their swaying and their hypnotic state is a mode of prayer that does not exist in the Bible, by the way. But they think that because they have this great feeling that they are praying, when that is not true. Look what it says. What is it then? I will pray, next three words, with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. There is a part of me that is flesh. Amen? And there's a part of me that is spirit. And I can pray with words. I can pray with form. I can pray out in public. I can pray with a good show. And it's all flesh. But there is a prayer in the Spirit where I also am in full control. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm singing. I know what I'm praying. And I'm doing it with the what? With the Spirit. We are commanded in the Bible to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. Let's pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let me get to my application. The thing I want us to do from this day forward is to believe that the Holy Spirit is at work when you pray. And you believe it so much that you let Him work as you pray. What do I mean? Let us firmly believe as an absolute reality that the Spirit of God's Son, the Holy Spirit, is in us. Do not imagine that you know and you have no need for reminding yourself of this, because a wife may go through her day unaware that she's pregnant. But from the moment that the doctor says, you're going to have a baby, she becomes keenly aware of that living being in her and that her life is going to be different now. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's one thing for a woman to be sitting there, and she may be every weekend going out drinking. She may be, having a second, you know, having a job, working, and she may be doing all the things that she wants to do. But the moment that she finds herself pregnant and there is a living being inside of her, she stops the drinking. She says, honey, I've got to get ready for this baby. You're going to have to get a second job. And she starts living differently because of that life in her. Amen. And when the Christian realizes there is a life in you, you live differently. And just as that woman begins to feel the presence of that life moving in her, you need to yearn for the feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Where you go, He's moving. He's calling me to do this. He's driving me to the place of prayer. He's calling me to serve Him there. He's calling me to go and talk to Him over there. And I don't want to do it, but He's alive in me and I cannot resist Him. Let us firmly believe in that. Our heart is the Holy Spirit's temple. Oh, if He would only be allowed to rule both my soul and my body. No wonder we have been prayerless and powerless. We have felt that prayer is too heavy a work for us, because all we have is words of prayer instead of the person of prayer. He is called the Spirit of Prayer for a purpose. Secondly, let us listen in on and join in with the Holy Spirit as He draws us to worship the Father. I think, Mona, I think this world is being unified. Have you noticed how the world is, if something happens in Timbuktu, Africa, we know about it by Twitter 30 minutes later. If there's an earthquake in the destitute areas of Upper Mongolia, we know about it. People, there are 500 million people who communicate via Facebook. It went out somehow a couple of days ago. There was an outage with Facebook. It shut down for about 6 hours, and all the employers were delighted people were working again. But the whole world is communicating, and they're unifying, and everybody knows what everybody else is doing, and they know what everybody else is thinking, and they know what everybody else wants for Christmas. You know what's going on? We're becoming less and less in touch with heaven. We're becoming further and further away. We're only stuck in this realm. And let us join back in prayer. Can I tell you, you cannot, any church service, when we are singing and when I'm preaching, you cannot experience the worship that's going on in heaven. This is not a time of worship. This is a time of preaching. Amen. This is a time where my heart gets back in tune with heaven, so that when I pray, I'm back joining that choir that's already going on in heaven. That when I pray, my heart is now ready for God to speak to me. Not that I want to tell Him what to do, but that I'm willing to say, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. I've heard the preaching, and today I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm letting you tell me what to do. That's the purpose of church, to get us so that we're listening. Thirdly, let us let him, as a spirit of holiness, teach us to recognize, to hate, and be done with sin in our life. I think his name is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And the job here, when I go to Lord in prayer, and I mean, maybe you have a different mom than I did. But when I came home and I loved playing in the muck, I was a boy. I found more treasures underground. I brought all my treasures home in my trousers too, by the way. They were oozing out of my trousers. I loved everything I found underground. They're yucky, by the way. I found some of the longest worms ever on record. I found rocks I thought were diamonds. I found everything. But you know, can you imagine coming in after, I loved the rain, by the way. It's maybe why I came to Ireland, I don't know. But I loved the muck and everything. And can you imagine coming home and sitting down and mom's made chicken, mashed potatoes, thick gravy. We say green beans, but they're what do you call them? The beans, the long beans, huh? I know, string beans, but anyway, and bread and everything. And if I just put my hands back up there and I got ready to eat, there was the long arm of the law. The ear. You ever see how big these ears are? Do you know why they're this big? Young man, you are going right in there and you're washing those hands. Amen? Before we, and you know what? We come to God and our hands and our thoughts, our imaginations and our feet and our lives are filthy. And we go, God, why are you so upset? How come I'm not getting any answers to prayer? Let us let him teach us to be able to spot the sins in our lives and go, ooh, I know what I need to deal with before I even pray. Amen. We've talked about it this week. There are people you need to go to and say, I'm sorry to. There are people you need to go to and say, I've had such a spirit about me that was jealous or that was envious or that was vengeful and I had it and you don't even maybe know about it, but it has blocked our prayer time and I want to say I'm sorry. You need to look at your husband. You need to look at your wife and say, we have been out of harmony. We have been against each other and God can't answer our prayers and we desperately need him to. Whatever sin is in your life, whatever attitude, whatever bitterness, whatever you're holding against God and holding against man has to be buried. You need to let him say, yes. See, some of you are only hearing one voice this morning, mine. But when you get to the place where the Holy Spirit is able to go, he's right. Listen to him. Act on it. I've already told you what to do and you won't do it. When you let him talk to you. Whew, amen. And then one more thing. Yield to his gentle pulls. Yield to his gentle pulls. Folks, the Holy Spirit wants more of me. He wants to possess me entirely and for me to be entirely under his control. You can't drive, you can't walk without your attention being diverted. You can't read the newspaper without seeing stuff that takes your mind and goes into a gutter. This world has a way of saying things and wearing things and doing things that takes control of your thoughts and of your life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Holy Spirit had full control? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we became sensitive to the gentle nudging and leading of the Holy Spirit so that when he urges you to pray at the thought of someone, you do. That when he tells you to humble yourself and give in an argument, that you do. When he moves you to meet another person's need and you without hesitation, do. When he calls you to open your mouth and witness or encourage or even rebuke someone in desperate need of a friend, and you do. Listen, there is somebody named the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, who wants us to pray with him. He already has the Father's ear. He is the Father's ear. And when he comes alongside you and says, come on, Craig, let's pray. And I go, no, not yet. I'm kind of busy. I am missing out on the greatest opportunity of getting the answer to my needs. So when we come through this prayer revival, the last thing we need is more routine, more structure, more words. The last thing we need is more confidence. The last thing we need is more arrogance. What we need is the Holy Spirit of God being able to whisper and tell us what to pray and to call us to pray longer and patiently wait on God. Because you know that the Holy Spirit is calling you to pray when you want to linger, when you want to stay and you realize there's... How many of you would like to have power only for 1 hour a day? You want to move to the Philippines? Because they have those times where in areas... I remember under Aquino there, she was struggling 25 years ago. She was struggling. There was the Manila was so big that certain sections of Manila would get power only for certain times of the day, and then another section and another section. Am I right? Do you remember that? I know you were just a kid back then. But all the businesses had to work within the schedule that when the power was on, they did their work. And they had to all go home, and they couldn't get their work done and everything. Folks, wouldn't it be awful to live that way, where it's only Sunday that you feel spiritual? Where you only get spotty answers to prayer, where, like, you wouldn't want to live in a house where the power is undependable. You like being able to go and plug in the Hoover and it works, amen? Aren't you glad that ESB, or electricity, or boy gosh, is always available? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is always there. And we are to blame why our prayers are answered so sporadically. Because we don't plug in, because we don't yield Him, because we don't use Him. Let's stand, let's bow in prayer.